02, Bob Price. Some extractions are painful, but necessary. Experience extraction, it's not painful, but it is ridiculously valuable. There's a photograph of a dentist extracting a tooth. Not a pleasant thing, but here in Texas, we extract oil and gas from the ground, so there's value. I want to talk a little bit about experience extraction. I'm going to call this part one of I don't know how many, because let's just see where this takes us. Today, it's about extracting value from a resource, namely from people. Sounds awful, inhumane even, but it's not. It's quite necessary and effective, and I'll argue that it's far more, it's far more selfless than not. Well, I'll just go ahead and explain that one. When you're extracting value from people, they feel more valuable. Yeah, just think about it, and I'll leave it at that. By now, you know how fond I am of being a learning organization. Too few are, though. Most get up in the morning, they do exactly what they did the day before. Some scramble, but only when something forces them to. I spoke a little about a bit about hustling and scrambling over at another podcast that I do over at Leaning Toward Wisdom. There's a link in the text if you want to go check that out. But I'll give you an abbreviated version that you can quickly relate to. You have an agenda tomorrow, assuming tomorrow is a work day. Well, and hey, for you, any day's a work day, right? That's a whole nother problem we need to work on. You've got meetings at precise times. You've got a few things that absolutely positively must get done tomorrow. Other things, they can be put off. And so it goes, just another day, right? Until something happens to disrupt it. Think of something that could do that. I'm thinking of that recent Ebola scare over in Dallas that now seems to have subsided somewhat, thankfully. I mean, what if that poor man who walked into that hospital, the guy who died, what if that guy had walked into a Southlake facility? Got nothing to do directly with public works, but I would imagine that would rattle every window and every door in town hall. Suddenly, the whole city government goes into full-blown scramble mode. Well, these things happen to us, and they happen to us more often than we might realize. Yeah, okay, not to the scale of an Ebola scare. Some examples that I cited in that podcast, they had to do with business application. You know, a business opens up and they aim for a certain dollar amount, let's say, of sales per day. And as the month comes to a close, they realize, yeah, we're only about 37% there. Okay, they scramble. Like a football quarterback, scrambling happens when plans fail or when something unexpected happens. What does that have to do with extracting experience? Well, everything. We know about some things. For instance, we know Chuck is leaving at the 1st of July next year. We know that you have plans to retire about a year later. And that's a lot of years of experience walking, maybe running and screaming, out the door. At least out the door of the city of Southlake. And since you're a high integrity guy who is interested in leaving the place better than you found it, there's the desire to get things ready. So what's the plan? It's okay that it's not fully developed, but time's ticking. And meanwhile, the work continues. It'd be like that dentist working on a patient while the patient's running. You know, but that's how it has to be because that's your environment. And I got news for you. That's everybody's environment. Everybody I know feels pressured to complete the project yesterday. Everybody I know laments the fact that they're never caught up. They never get ahead. We're all drowning in our work because in this digital age, everybody is doing the work of three people and it's rapidly migrating to four or more, such is life. Many of us are failing to plan because we don't take the time or we don't think we have the time. And because we don't think there's much use. I mean, after all, how many intentions have we blown just this week? As the old Negro slave slogan goes, mean to, don't pick no cotton. And a lot of people go through life, yeah, I've been meaning to do this. I meant to do that. And well, yeah, mean to, don't pick no cotton. Sometimes we fail to plan because we're not sure what we're planning for. Bosses hijack our day. Problems erupt that obliterate the calendar, and it makes it hard to embrace the thought of wasting time planning. I mean, why bother? But consider the alternative. And don't worry. I'm working my way toward extracting experience and learning from this conversation. And you know me, I'm going to get around to the point. I'm trying to provoke some thought here along the way. So yeah, cut me some slack. Imagine the football team that goes to the line without a called play. They just line up 11 players. Some may be thinking along the same lines, but how would you know? Many of them are thinking one thing. The rest, they're thinking of something completely different. And it doesn't matter if we're on offense or defense. Suppose some are thinking run and others are thinking pass. What are the chances of success? I'll tell you, zero, none. They have no chance at all of success. I can guarantee their failure. Now, call a play, one that they've practiced many times before, one that they have proven they can successfully execute, and let's assume we're on offense. They know the precise signal at which the ball is going to be snapped. The linemen, they know their blocking assignments, the skill positions, they know exactly what their responsibilities are, and so the ball is snapped. One lineman, just one lineman, he loses his balance. Rough patch of turf, whatever. Maybe one of his teammates steps on his foot. Yeah, occasionally you see that happen. Just one player is off balance as the ball is snapped. The other 10, they're all doing fine. And suddenly a defender is in the backfield with the quarterback who is now running for his life. He's scrambling. And they had a plan they all knew how to pull off. And now success resides primarily with one person, our quarterback. And the longer he can stay alive back there, the more time it gives the rest of us to get in some position to try to help him, whether we're blocking for him or, well, especially the skill players who might be able to receive a pass for them to get open and for him to see them. A lot of things have to go right for him to pull this off. Scrambling elevates the pressure to perform under undue pressure, and it happens. It can't be avoided 100% of the time. But as we're able to avoid it, we want to avoid it. Inner learning. What can your team learn from Chuck before he's gone? What advantages can you take while he's in his current role? What plans can you form while you're in a position of strength without the pressure of his absence? I remain an enormous proponent of closing the knowing-doing gap, because I've seen it all my life in real-world companies and organizations. I've seen it at high levels. I've seen it at low levels. People who think they need to learn more before they can be better. There's just something they don't yet know. If only they knew this. If only they knew that. If only they had this secret. If only they had that formula, then all things would be better. But these same people universally admit that they're not yet doing everything they know how to do. And still they're yearning to learn something they don't yet know, something they believe will cure or help cure whatever ails them. So let's talk about step one. Step one is formulating a plan to get everybody doing what they already know they should be doing. Now, members of your team are no different than any other team. Some are performing at a high level consistently, others less so. And not all roles are equal. Some deserve higher compensation because they're more vital. For instance, in a company where sales mean the world, then salespeople earn more, and their performance impacts the organization more than most others. Your department has some people who fill roles that impact the overall department more than others. And this is important because plans have to take into account the value of the resource. And people are a resource. Now, we're not talking about the inherent worth of human beings. We're talking about the value role people play. We're talking about the value that people play in the positions that they fill. Let's say that there's some low-level hourly worker who is slacking off a little bit. He's not doing everything he knows to do. Should a lot of planning going into fixing that problem? Well, sure, at some level, I guess it should. But that planning needs to be pushed down to the very lowest level possible. Is it a big deal? No. Should it continue? No, but it's not risking the entire department to have guys that are earning 10 bucks an hour slacking off every now and then. I mean, it happens. Now, let's say that we've got some engineer on staff who's consistently not performing at a level that has long been established, That is, they're not being asked to learn something new. They're not being asked to take on some new task. They're not being asked to develop some new program. They're just not quite performing as they should in their daily task. Well, now that's a bigger priority. Is it, you know, is it a stop the presses kind of a problem? No, it needs to be addressed by that engineer's boss in a systematic, methodical, planned way. And yeah, if the work doesn't improve, then fire them. Let's keep moving up the food chain, though. Let's say somebody on your staff isn't doing what they know they should be doing consistently. The higher up we go, the more impact that person has on the whole department. The greater their influence, the greater their impact, for good or bad. Leadership's pretty simple, really, as far as power or impact goes. Who can most put the organization at risk? Who has the power or the authority to make decisions that can hurt the rest of us? Start at the top with the city manager. I mean, she's got the most direct power. She can make decisions that will risk all the rest of you. And that means her leadership trumps everybody else. And she's got a burden that goes along with that, and so do you. What plan can you create and implement? Implementation, that's critical. Unexecuted plans, they're worthless in real time. I mean, our football team with a stumbling lineman doesn't care. It doesn't care that they... We have practiced this 100 times, guys, and we've done it perfectly every time. Well, now in the game, he stumbles. Do y'all care that you got it right 100 times? No, it doesn't matter. Because what matters now is that that plan, it's failed for whatever reason. And that doesn't mean the plan was faulty. It doesn't mean that they wasted their time planning. It doesn't mean that they wasted their time practicing. It just means that something happened that demanded they adjust and scramble. So what's the plan? Learning starts with doing what we know to do. English teachers have notoriously taught writing students to learn proper grammar before you start breaking the rules of grammar. And of course, every creative writer wants to break the rules. It's the same principle at work of doing what you know before you start veering off into new ventures or breaking new ground. It's about consistency. It's about being able to perform the plan over and over with predictable success. It's about getting a team of people performing with predictable success at what they already know. Then we can start learning more. Then we can start tacking on more things. So let's stick with our football analogy, shall we? I mean, if our starting wide receiver is in the final year of his career, he can teach us some things. He doesn't have to be a future Hall of Fame candidate. He's played in many games. He has seen lots of defenses. Let's name him Chuck, shall we? Maybe it's the very subtle things that he knows instinctively just because he's been doing it for so long. And maybe he doesn't even realize what he knows because nobody's extracted these things or nobody's tried. Maybe it's more structured than that, though. Whatever it is, he's got experience. That we would be foolish, we would be absolutely foolish to let slip through our fingers without some plan to extract that or to pass that on to our other wide receivers or our coaching staff or just our collective knowledge in general. Back when I was doing a lot of hockey coaching, I went looking everywhere, man. I went looking all over the globe online to find people that could help me better understand the game. Now, I was a longtime student and fan of the game, but I've never played it. But I was a very good coach because I was an avid, enthusiastic learner. I can't even skate, but I have coached a number of championship teams at all ages because I knew I had to extract experience and value from others. I picked the brains of professional players. I connected with professional and amateur coaches, high level. I read everything I could find. I studied players, I studied teams, I studied coaches. I mean, it was a solid 15-year plus stretch of idea, experience, and skill extraction. It was deliberate, it was planned, it was intentional. And I only had one goal, to make myself the most valuable coach possible to my teams, to my players. I wanted my service to go as high as possible for a person without firsthand experience. And I knew it was possible. And I also assumed correctly, by the way, that it would take me longer, but that was okay. Time is an important element, especially for you, what with Chuck and with you and your timetables. But that compression of time isn't a panic thing. It's just a specific period of time that requires more precise planning. There's no excuse for any of us to avoid planning, well, proper planning and proper execution of the plan. We just have to make sure that when execution fails, it's not because our team doesn't know what play we're running, or because we didn't plan a play, or because we didn't practice a play, or because we didn't communicate the play. And way too many organizations get all that wrong. They're playing sandlot football up against a professional team that knows what they're doing, and the results show. So, there's some thoughts. We'll pick it up next time. In the meantime, think about what you can, well, think about what you want to do. And think about what you know you need to do. And we'll do this again.